Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for joining in to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Appreciate everybody for listening in, subscribing on iTunes or on Stitcher, and checking out Between the Ropes on BetweenTheRopes.com. And don't forget, you can also find us on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com/BetweenTheRopes. Find us there and see all the different videos that we do, including the weekly video podcast. Speaking of this podcast, two interviews coming up here. Coming up later on, an interview with Daniel Bryan talking about his brand new book, Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania, which I can't believe I remembered off the top of my head. Simply call it the Yes Book. I believe that's what Daniel calls it. So talk to Daniel about the book and about what's going on with him right now, health-wise, and a lot of other things. But first, before we get to Daniel Bryan, let's talk a little Tough Enough. Patrick Clark, who was eliminated this week, a shocking turn of events of Patrick being off of Tough Enough. I think a lot of people were surprised, even though it is up to an audience vote, so that means people did not support him enough, and that's why he's gone from the show. So first off, let's start off here, my interview with Patrick from Tough Enough. Let's talk about the elimination from last night. So how were you able to handle it so well when so many other people were shocked by it?
You always have to look for that cloud with the silver lining at the end of the day, and I found mine in knowing that superstars like The Miz and Ryback, who are currently on the WWE main roster, they didn't win Tough Enough, and they made it to the height that they made it. So that's just comforting in itself.
Who was more surprised, you or The Miz? Because we saw the reaction on his face when he came out for Tough Talk, and he seemed overwhelmed by it.
I was definitely more shocked than The Miz. The only difference is that, of course, I have to maintain my composure because I'm not known yet, and any of the slightest movements that I make or anything that I say can be misconstrued. The Miz has that voice. He has a microphone, and, you know, they're going to hear him before they hear me.
Was it a conscious effort on your behalf then to not get emotional about it and try to just stay as even keel as possible?
Of course. That was my intention all along. You don't want to go – you want to go out with a bang, and you want to go out being remembered, but you don't want to go out, you know, crazy. You want to be that guy who has the poise, who has the respect for the business to just walk away and know that you didn't win, but it's not over.
Well, it's funny watching the show, and you're watching along like everybody else, and we're seeing the way that everything was playing out. It sure seemed like it was going to be ZZ's night to leave. Did you feel that way as everything was setting up to that final three?
No, you know, oddly enough, I felt it. I really felt it in my gut that I was going to go home. I don't know why, but the entire day, I just had that feeling. ZZ has a connection with the WWE Universe and the reality TV Universe that it's just undeniable, and they just want to see him succeed. ZZ's biggest problem is that he doesn't realize how bad people are behind him. He doesn't realize how easy he has it, and he thinks that connection is going to carry him all the way, but coming from a guy who used to be a part of that WWE Universe and still is in a sense, we'll turn on you in a heartbeat. If you show us that you're really not working for us, we'll turn on you. And I believe that's what's about to happen.
Was that the biggest thing for you, is that you felt like that audience turned on you because maybe they just felt like you weren't likable enough or even mean?
The WWE Universe is entitled to their opinion, and they might not have liked the word that I said to ZZ. I knew that when I said what I said to ZZ in front of the camera, that I was putting myself at a big risk. But I was willing to take that risk because ZZ is my best friend as far as the Tough Enough show is concerned. And I wanted to see he and I in the bottom two together. I mean, in the final two together. And it was just me stressing that to him. We have two very different work ethics. And it hurt me to know that I've been dreaming about this since I was 8, and it took me this long to get here. And he literally just thought the Tough Enough audition was something to do, and he has his support, and he's just not utilizing it. He's not using his full potential to make the most out of the situation.
Yeah, I'm curious now, because it was the first chink in the armor that I think we saw for him after being a guy that I think a lot of people had earmarked saying he's going to go far in the show. What do you think his chances are of winning the show now that, you know, people are starting to look a little bit more beyond just the entertainment part and talk about how serious he is when it comes to the physical part of the competition?
I feel like this past episode yesterday really brought things into light for the WWE Universe that DVD's not always cracked up to be. You know, you can tell stories all day and you can use the same shtick, but you got 10 weeks to use it. And I think he's used up all his stories. I think he's used everything he had in his arsenal. And what's left? You got to improve. You got to show something else. That's what Hulk Hogan told me. He said, I used up the smart mark pantry. Now he needed to see something different. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to show that to him, but DZ does. And if he doesn't utilize it, I can almost guarantee that if not this week, the following week, DZ will be gone.
What did you think of Hulk Hogan calling you a smart mark that one week?
I thought it was an honor. I mean, everybody who's ever had a love for this business, I can guarantee you was a mark coming into the business. You know, that's what we are. And mark has had such a negative connotation to it because the internet community, internet wrestling community, that it's not a bad thing to be a mark. That just means that you love the company. You know, it means you love the product and you're a supporter of it. And I'm proud to have Hulk Hogan call me a smart mark.
Well, some of the biggest marks around are the people that are in that locker room working for the WWE.
Exactly.
You know, when watching this show, obviously part of it, a big part of it is when it comes to the popularity of all you guys that are competing there, there's a fine line, I think, of trying to be yourself, trying to be confident, trying to maybe have a little humility, but also, you know, trying to be likable for that audience so you don't get voted off. Do you feel like you were too cocky?
Going into this reality TV show, I realized that I have a pretty mellow personality. I wouldn't consider myself cocky. I consider myself confident. It's cocky if you can't back it up. I backed it up 3 weeks in a row, and this was just my week to be humbled. And I turned up that confidence. And over the weeks, you saw it as cockiness. That's the way that it played out. But if you break things down, week one, Tanner won, and I was still me confident about me beating him, and I told him that. Week two, I won. Week three, I won. And week four, I won. And over those weeks, not only did Tanner confront me, but Maude and Josh also confronted me. So I'm just defending myself.
And it felt like this week, too, that things were starting to change in the house and that there was still a definite competitive spirit where guys were out for themselves. You wanted to do your best. But at the same time, it seemed like everybody was getting along a lot better, you know, once a competition was done or once somebody won it, from a standpoint of you going back, your Tanner coming back to helping you on the course, or just kind of the interaction that we saw between you guys in the house where it wasn't heated back and forth between everybody. Was there definitely like a change in the way that everything was going at that point?
There definitely was. When we first started the WWE mini camp for Tough Enough and the final 13 were chosen, Triple H came to the group, and he said to us that we needed to learn how to be a family when we're not in competition, but also realize that we are competitors. And when we are in the ring doing an in-ring challenge or we're in whatever venue we happen to be in for the day for whatever challenge it happens to be, we're competitors at that point. And we're very good as a group, as a Tough Enough family for season six to separate that competitive drive and nature from the family aspect that we had back at the barracks.
You know, it's funny because we talk about some people who were very surprised that you were the one that were eliminated from the show last night, and there was definitely some outrage on social media, including some comments by Mick Foley talking about how he thought he was tapping out to Tough Enough because he was so upset that you got voted off. What was your reaction to hearing the feedback from social media about your elimination?
I thought it was pretty funny. First off, I want to thank Mick Foley, good old JR Jim Ross. He also made a comment about Tough Enough and my elimination. I appreciate the legends of the WWE even acknowledging the fact that I was on the show, taking the time out to observe my performance and even give me critique like that over social media. You know, at the end of the day, the WWE Universe had their chance to vote for me. And I think people were shocked. I think it's that old cliche that you don't know what you got till it's gone. They hated me as the bad guys, the cocky Patrick, if you will, on the show, and they thought that because I brought good drama that everything was going to work out how it worked out. But the voting's not rigged as people thought it was. And this is a competition. Like, your votes count. And if you thought that I was going to slide under the radar, you're sadly mistaken. It's not my word of advice to the WWE Universe and anyone voting via the app or Twitter is take the vote seriously. And if you have someone you want to save, you need to get on the app, the WWE Tough Enough app, and you need to save them. Because they're not just going to sit by and, you know, get by off of your costs.
So, you know, when it comes to everything that happened last night, too, one of the big things that we saw was the Big Show there confronting all the guys. How did that chop feel from Big Show?
To be honest, the smart mark inside of me loved it. I can finally go somewhere and say I got a chop from the Big Show. But the human being inside of me said, ouch. I mean, that hurt. If you've ever met the Big Show, his fingers are like bratwurst. I mean, his hands are huge, literally like a frying pan. That's not an over-exaggeration of any sort. Like, Big Show has huge hands, and when he lays into your chest like that, you definitely have a bruise in it. My skin's a little dark, but I still got red.
You know, there's only so much time, obviously, for the show every week, and we only get to see so much of yourself and all the other, you know, people that are a part of the show. What do you think is the biggest thing that, when it comes to you and who you are and your personality, that we don't know about you yet or didn't get to see on the show?
I would say that, like you said, you always need the time to get to know a person, and 2 hours isn't enough to cover 12 people. 13 people, but if there was anything I would want people to know about me is that I have more than just passion for the WWE. I feel like getting that label, people, all they saw was passion. It like blinded them to the fact that I am a talent. And I say that as humble as I possibly can. I know that I am a talent. And I have talents to show the WWE Universe. It's just not going to be through the Tough Enough competition.
Yeah. Now, before you got chosen for Tough Enough, you've obviously been wrestling a little while. How long have you been in the business for, you know, working independence?
I started with Maryland Championship Wrestling under Dan McDevitt on June 3rd, 2014. They recently opened up the MCW Training Academy out in Joppa, Maryland, and I trained there for six or seven months before I was given my first shot on a show. I debuted October 3rd in Waldorf, Maryland. And then I went right back to training. That was just like a filler just to see where I was. And I actually started wrestling shows actively in February of this year. So I wrestled about 20 shows, give or take. And I got a really good experience out of it. I feel like that helped me in coming to the competition.
Now, you've got a background, you know, in some amateur wrestling as well. But when did you know that professional wrestling, WWE, was something that you wanted to pursue as a career?
When I was 8 years old, everybody's heard the story a million times. My father was killed. A way for me to cope with it was through watching TV, and cartoons wasn't enough for me. I needed something more, and I found that through the characters and the personalities of sports entertainment through the WWE. And from that moment, the way that it saved my life, I knew, let's say around 12 years old, I knew that I wanted to give that back. I knew I wanted to affect a life the same way that The Undertaker and Kurt Angle did to me that night.
So what's next for you? I assume maybe going back and, you know, working some different independent shows and getting more experience. I've got a feeling that that's the route you go. You're not going to have a problem getting booked.
Oh, not at all. I've already set sights. I head back tonight on a plane to Baltimore. Tomorrow I'll be back at the MCW Training Academy, training with my coaches. And this weekend, as early as Saturday, I plan on taking bookings and starting to wrestle again.
And how long until you think you get a call from the WWE inviting you back?
I would hope soon. I would hope soon. Who's to know? You know, I may not be what they're looking for right now. My job right now is, now that I've got that foot in the door, I know someone's watching me, and I've got to work, and I've got to show that I really want this, and I want to come back. And most importantly, stay in contact with anyone and everyone I can from the WWE.
And what's the biggest thing you think you need to work on to achieve that goal of getting back in WWE and becoming a superstar there?
Oh, everything. I'm so critical of myself. Booker T in one of the episodes said that I could be the best bumper of all time. He said I could. I want to be the best bumper of all time, so I definitely got to go back and work on my bumping. I've got to go back and work on my technique. I've got to do everything I can do to make sure that I am on the main roster one day, and when I make it to the main roster, that I'm the greatest that ever lived.
Well, I appreciate the time, Patrick. It was strange seeing you get eliminated from the show, but best of luck as you go forward. I'm looking to see what the future holds for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was one of the people that was really surprised, too, that Patrick got voted off Tough Enough. I was actually there in attendance at Full Sail, and almost everybody there was really, really surprised. And I know the way that he comes off on the show, but I really think you can see how passionate he is about wrestling, about sports entertainment, and how badly he wants to be a part of the business. And he's going to go back and he's going to train some more Maryland Championship Wrestling. He's going to get some other opportunities on the independents. That's the one thing you can't say about Patrick. No matter what you might say about him, I think he really truly loves the business and wants to be a part of it. And he takes it serious. And you're going to hear about him on the independents. And I would not be shocked if WWE offered him a developmental contract in the not so distant future. So we'll see what happens with him. It's not the end of the road, as everybody says, for Patrick. And I think he's got a future in the business. It was just kind of strange to see him voted off the show already. So before we get to Daniel Bryan, I want to thank everybody that is supporting Between the Ropes on Patreon. We really appreciate it. If you're not doing that yet and you can help, please do. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes, or you can just go to betweentheropes.com, and we've got the link on the top right-hand side to our Patreon page. And for as little as $1 a month, it goes a long way. If you would like to pledge more than that, you can. We've got different tiers set up, so you will get some extra things if you decide to donate more. But now, if you can't do it, I totally understand. You can support Between the Ropes in so many different ways by subscribing to our podcast, by checking out BetweenTheRopes.com, subscribing to us on our YouTube page, even just following us on Twitter at Between the Ropes. But if you can pledge to us, if you can support us, if you like what we do and you see value in what we do, please support us on Patreon. It really, really helps us out. Once again, it's patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes. Now, my conversation with Daniel Bryan, talking about his brand new autobiography, what's going on with him when it comes to his health, and some other stories mixed in between. I'm looking forward to seeing Daniel Bryan get back in the ring. I've been a big fan of his for a long, long time, and I'm hoping they can get back in the ring sooner rather than later, like a lot of other people. He's always a great guy to talk to, an interesting conversation, and here is my talk with Daniel Bryan. He's Daniel Bryan. His autobiography, Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania, is now available online and at bookstores everywhere. Thanks for the time, Daniel, and sorry to see your Tough Enough streak come to an end.
Yeah, you know what? And I actually feel like I made a mistake last night in not saving Patrick. I should have saved him. And then, had I saved Patrick, ZZ was in the middle of the three, he got 30. He got less votes than Josh. He would have gone home, and my streak would have been intact.
So, oh, I know.
But it wasn't because I wanted to keep my streak intact. It was more because I thought Patrick had has tremendous upside and it was a valuable part of the show. So,
I think the funniest thing to me is I just find it so ironic that you're a guy that watches very, very little TV, yet you've been a part of two reality TV shows. Is it weird for you?
It's super weird. And now, especially because I'm on two reality TV shows on the same night. So, like, on Tuesdays, like, you can watch me on Tough Enough from 8 until 9. And then you can go straight to Total Divas at 9 o'clock and watch that. So, yeah, it's pretty surreal.
So, let's talk a little bit about the book that's out now. So, when you look at the entire book and going through everything that you did when it comes to writing it and thinking about everything, looking back, do you really believe that it all happened, that something like that, a story like that could really happen to anybody, especially to yourself?
I mean, it's pretty crazy. And when you, like, I've known this for a long time, but especially when you write it everything down, how much of my circumstances is just plain luck, right? Like, I worked very, very hard, right? But lots of people work very, very hard. Like, Nigel McGuinness worked very hard. Brian Kendrick has worked very, very hard. All these people have worked very, very hard and haven't gotten the breaks at the right opportunities that I have. You know what I mean? And it's just, it is. It's just crazy. Just, you know, sometimes things just fall into your lap, and that's pretty incredible.
I like some of the different things, the journeys that you go through, because you talk about going to so many different areas when it comes to your career, and that you got an opportunity to go over to New Japan, and you got to go to the UK, and you loved working over there. And at one point you even talked about, in a perfect world, you would have loved staying over there. And what was it that attracted you to that the most when it came to working all these different places? Because there's so many different people that I don't think could handle that. And I think it's going to be something that we really don't see from people in the wrestling world now. There's going to be very few people that can have a journey like what you've had.
Yeah, I think it's just because I kind of have like a wandering spirit, kind of. Like, I like having a bunch of different experiences. I don't just want to do one thing for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, I love wrestling, but to wrestle one style for the rest of my life seems like it would just like really hold me down, like just creatively, you know. I like being I love the family atmosphere of being in England and really feeling like, hey, like it almost felt like I was going back in time. I like going to Japan where they treat it more like a real sport, right? I like doing the entertainment stuff with WWE, and I love doing the really like small venue stuff with like Ring of Honor and everything, because everything is so intimate, you know. Like, there's different feelings and different experiences, and you have to be good at different things to do all of that, you know. And so and I love just going and seeing different cultures. I think one of the things that really discourages me is like going to Japan and everybody going to Tokyo Disney, right? When there's like, you know, and I don't mean to knock Disney because you're in Orlando, but, you know, like, when you go to Japan, like, go and see, like, there's all this awesome Japanese history and culture to go see, like, and I don't like the homogenization of all of it, I guess.
One of the things that, I don't know why it stuck out to me in the book, but the different odd jobs that you had, and there was one in particular, I can't believe a store like this ever existed, but you worked at a store called Video Tonight, Tan Tomorrow?
No, Video Tonight, Tan Today.
Tan Today?
Yeah, Dan Today. Video Tonight, Dan Today is what it was called, yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because it just kind of was, like, it was kind of a staple of the area for a while, you know? And so you never really thought about it until you went to other places and were like, hey, what do you mean there's no video store / tanning salon here? Like, is that not like a regular thing? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that got me in the book was, not that there was an overwhelming amount of it, but there was a little bit of sexual talk in the book. One of the stories was the infamous time that Sheamus and Ted DiBiase decided to break up an opportunity for you and Brie. Have you ever gotten revenge on those guys, in particular in Sheamus?
Okay, so no. So there was Brie had talked with me about this extensively after that had happened. It's like, we have to get revenge on those guys. And I was like, we can't. There's literally, and this is like, this is the part of me that's not very ambitious, right? But like, I honestly can't even think of something that would be good enough revenge, right? Like, you know, mine is doing something that I'm not prepared to do, like pooping in somebody's bag or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it just didn't seem feasible for me to do it. Like, it was just such a strange circumstance that led to that event that it just couldn't even be replicated.
Well, I also like, too, that, like, you talk about playing a rib on Kane, and your idea of a great rib was stacking up a bunch of chairs, turning off the lights, and blasting downtown on your cell phone.
Yeah. Well, essentially, building a wall between him and his bags was essentially the idea. He's going to come back, and he just want to get to his bag and change his gear, and he can't because there's this giant wall of chairs there. And he's going to know that I did it because I'm playing downtown.
So what do you think is the best story that did not make the book?
You know, it's hard to say because the best stories that didn't make the book aren't in the book for a reason, because they probably shouldn't be public, right?
Right.
Like, so, like, the ones that come to my mind are just like, well, I probably shouldn't just say that.
How different do you think your career would be if WWE had agreed to the name Buddy Peacock or even Lord Bonnier?
Lloyd Bonnier? I think Lloyd Bonnier would have been a huge star, but I actually believe people would have liked Buddy Peacock. Like, like if somebody could come in with the last name Peacock, I think they'd be tremendously, if they're good, they'd be tremendously successful. Because what crowd, instead of chanting, holy cow, I'm in downtown New York City doing media stuff right now, and literally I'm stuck in the middle of an intersection, and this guy is just nonstop honking his horn at us.
Of course he is.
It's crazy. But yeah, can you imagine like 10,000 people chanting, Peacock, Peacock, Peacock? Like, it would just be great instead of chanting Daniel Bryan.
You know, it's funny too, because one of the themes of the book is just talking about you, obviously the big moment at WrestleMania 30 and, you know, the two matches that night and becoming the WWE World Heavyweight Champion and, you know, overcoming all the odds and everything. And one of the things was just talking about how the WWE would be different after that and how things would change. Do you think that in yourself, in your accomplishments there, has made a change to the WWE?
I honestly don't know. Like, I don't see that much of a change. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, but I don't know what change people expected, right? And the change was hurt by the fact that shortly after that I got injured and then I had neck surgery and all that kind of stuff. You know, what I think it did do for people is to give them hope that even if you are not the standard person that WWE wants to push to the moon and give all the opportunities to, that if the fans really get behind you, you can still get to the highest level, you know? And I think guys still have that hope, you know what I mean? That if you're good enough and if the people get behind you enough, that can push you past that point that WWE was originally planning to push you to.
Absolutely. And, you know, do you think that during that time and everything that you've done, that you've won over Vince McMahon now?
You know what? Yes, but I don't know, like, to what degree. You know what I mean? Like, does he think that I should ever main event another WrestleMania? I would say probably not. it's just interesting. Like, I think he likes me. He sees me as a valuable performer. He sees me as somebody who makes the company money. But I don't know if he will ever see me as the guy in the way that he sees John Cena as the guy, or in the way that he potentially sees Roman Reigns as the guy. You know what I mean? I just don't think, to this day, I still don't think he sees me like that.
But how much of that has to deal with the injuries that you've gone through over the last couple of years?
Yeah. I mean, that has hurt me a lot as far as that goes. And, like, you know, it would be interesting to see what would have happened had I not had my neck surgery shortly after WrestleMania of last year. And, you know, when I say he doesn't see me as the guy, I'm not blaming him. He has good reason to not see me as the guy, right? Like, there's plenty of reasons for me to not be the guy, you know. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't see me as a valuable performer.
So what's going on right now when it comes to your health? Because I know that you've been sidelined since mid-April.
Yeah. I mean, I feel great. And realistically, I am just waiting for WWE's doctor's clearance. So I've been cleared by one doctor already. But, you know, getting cleared by doctors sometimes is the hardest part. And they're looking out for my well-being. And so it's just, you know, it's just kind of a wait-and-see type thing.
So what was your reaction? And I know that you had to comment about this pretty recently in social media. There was an interview that said that you wouldn't be back wrestling ever?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because Bree had called me. I was visiting my sisters. I was visiting my sister, and I was out in Pennsylvania. She lives amongst a bunch of, like, Amish people and Mennonites and stuff like that. And so Bree calls me, and she said, hey, did you say something about not wrestling again? And I said, no. She goes, oh, because it's all over my Instagram feed or Twitter feed or whatever it was. And, like, I was like, huh. Like, she said, do you think WWE released something that said that you weren't going to wrestle anymore?
I said, I don't know. That's crazy that they wouldn't at least talk to me about it before that. And so then I went on my Twitter thing and checked, and there was this fake interview with my hometown, the Aberdeen, Washington radio station or something like that. And the interview never happened. You know what I mean? Some people just have too much time on their hands. And so it was like, it was all over my Twitter thing. And, you know, I don't put a lot of stock into social media, but the nice thing is that something like that comes out and a bunch of people are talking about it, then you can at least just go on there and squash it and say, like, hey, that's a fake interview. That's not real. So,
well, that's the crazy thing when it comes to you as well, is that, like, anything that comes new, you know, news talking about you and your health or anything, it seems like now, because of your stature in this, it just blows up. It's bigger than life now.
Yeah, and especially, like, you know what's crazy to me is about something like that, like, you know, people would put it on their websites or whatever, you know what I mean, and nobody's even really called the radio station to verify it or anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, you know, and so, but it is, you know, but one of the amazing things, and I attribute this to part of my success too, is that we have very passionate fans, right, who will, when they hear about something and they like it or don't like it or whatever, they'll talk about it a lot, you know, and it becomes a part of their being and a part of, you know, how their day is going and that sort of thing. And so that's part of that, and the fact that they care is really, really cool.
One more thing when it comes to, you know, the injuries that you've been dealing with, were you surprised at the comments, and I don't know if you saw them or not, about Bret Hart when he spoke with Sports Illustrated and said, well, he's got the same kind of injury that I had, and I don't think he's ever going to wrestle again?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I mean, but, you know, different people have different circumstances. Bret's circumstances were different than my circumstances. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's just one of those things where people only know their own reality. And that goes for me as far as, you know, it goes for me, it goes for you, it goes for anybody. You know what I mean? If you think that you know what somebody else is going through, odds are you probably don't, you know? Like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings that he said that. I just think he doesn't know the situation.
Well, speaking of that, how is your neck and your shoulder these days?
Oh, my shoulder's great. My shoulder and my neck are great. Like, I feel amazing. The other day, Monday, before Tough Enough, I squatted I did several sets at 270 pounds, which it's not a lot for, like, a professional athlete who's squatting 270 pounds for multiple reps, but it's a lot of pressure to be putting on my neck and shoulder and all that kind of stuff, and I did it with no problem. So
that's good. So what's this period been like, though, for you? Has it been frustrating to deal with the injuries and kind of sit back and see everything that's going on, especially after what you've been through and the success and who maybe you could be in the ring there with right now?
Yeah, it is very frustrating. It was especially frustrating coming back from my neck injury and then getting put out so quickly after, and especially because I have gone most of my career without any injuries, right? As far as, like, injuries that keep me out, right? Like, I detached my retina, but there was only 3 weeks that I didn't wrestle, you know, when I detached my retina and all that kind of stuff. So this is really the first time. But then, like, you have people, like, say, well, you know, you're kind of injury prone. And I'm like, I'm not injury prone. Like, I've been wrestling for 15 years, and I had kind of two back-to-back injuries, but that just kind of happens. I still had far less injuries than somebody like John Cena, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. It's been very frustrating, especially, like, because coming back, I had really big plans for the Intercontinental Championship and really, like, fun ideas and stuff to do with that and stuff that was very, like, artistically liberating or creatively, like, fun and that sort of thing. But I just never got a chance to do them. And, like, you don't know if you're going to be able to get that chance again.
Well, instead of having the U.S. Open Challenge every week, we could be having you with the IC title challenge every week.
Yeah, you know, and something like that. But just also the idea of you having a different title that is meant to, like, somebody like Cesaro, who's on fire right now, but isn't necessarily in a story with anybody, right? Like, one of the hard things for me to watch was, so I thought Battleground was really good, but why was Cesaro not on that show? You know, like, why is he not in a featured match on that show? And it's because he doesn't have anybody that he's in a story with or anything like that, you know, and that's what I wanted the Intercontinental Championship to be, is something that you could get these guys who don't get involved in a lot of stories, who don't get the opportunity to be in a lot of stories, they'd get to be involved in a story, and it would, at the end of whatever happens at the end of it, whoever wins and whoever loses, that we're both better off because of it.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of fans, like myself, were also looking forward to as well was a nice long rivalry between yourself and Seth Rollins. Was that something that you kind of thought about going forward before you got injured again?
No. I don't know if that was ever really in the works or anything like that. But, you know, the reality of the WWE right now is that it would have happened at some point. You know what I mean? Like, it would have happened at some point, and I would have really enjoyed that. You know, I've wrestled him for a lot of years. And it would be great to be able to do that kind of stuff on a big stage like WWE.
The last couple of things here. So when that time comes that you are returning to the ring, I know it's been talked about before, but do you have to take a closer look at maybe changing your style, changing what you do in the ring?
It's interesting because Steve Austin actually called me, and he's such a great guy, and like cares about what about my health and that sort of thing. But he was like, you have to change your style because of this and that and whatever. And Bree has told me, you have to change your style. And everybody has told me, you have to change your style and all that kind of stuff. And so the reality is I will change my style, but I would have changed my style even if I hadn't had injuries, right? Because to me, part of the fun of this is evolving and creating and all that kind of stuff and doing stuff new. And so, I've actually been working on stuff, mentally as far as doing things differently. It's just fun and exciting for me. The frustrating part is when you come up with these ideas, because wrestling's always been my creative outlet, is coming up with these ideas and then not being able to do them, right?
Like, yeah.
I come up with these ideas and then come Friday and Saturday, I'm still just at home gardening, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, I love gardening, but I do, when you really want to get out there and express yourself, and that's how you express yourself ever since you were a teenager, it's very difficult and it gets frustrating.
Last thing, I think a lot of people know you're very eco-friendly. You talk about it passionately in the book and how you're trying to win over some of the other guys in the locker room when it comes to that. What exactly is your house like when it comes to being eco-friendly and all the different things that you incorporate in your life for that kind of lifestyle?
Well, one of the things our house is, and a lot of times people worry that being in environmentally conscious is expensive. You know, when they think of things like solar panels and all that kind of stuff. Well, realistically, when you're looking at it, even just getting a smaller house that uses less energy, like Bree and I, our house is under 1,400 square feet, and we share a car that gets very good gas mileage, that doesn't have automatic locks, right? So it's by just one of the best things people can do is not consuming as much, right? So we have a very small house that doesn't require very much energy and that sort of thing. But we have a gray water system. One of the big issues in Phoenix, because it's the desert, is water use, right? So we have a gray water system where all the shower water and water that is in our sinks and all that kind of stuff, it goes back out to our backyard and waters our fruit trees and all that kind of stuff. We have stuff like our carpet is made out of recycled water bottles. We have been working on getting solar panels for so long, but it's hard because right now the electricity company that we're in that provides us electricity is called SRP, and they're in a lawsuit with SolarCity. Because what they're doing right now, and it's horrible, is they're trying to charge people who have solar panels the same prices that they charge people who don't have solar panels. So you are providing them with electricity, but they still want to charge you the same price that you're using, even though you're the one creating the electricity. They want to charge you the same price for your electricity. And so if you do that and you lock it in now and you put this contract with them with the solar panel, then you're stuck with that for however long that you're with SRP. So we're waiting until that lawsuit clears, and SolarCity has won every lawsuit like that they've been in throughout the country. So we're hoping, it's been a while, so we're hoping that it clears up soon and we can get our solar panels and stuff. But another thing that we've done is we've planted three fruit trees in our, we only have a quarter of an acre at our house, but we've planted 30 fruit trees, and using
you know, using our space of land instead of just to grow grass or whatever. And there's no way that we can consume all the fruit from those 30 fruit trees, but using that to help people in need and give back to other people. So
the book is Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania, or you can simply call it the Yes Book. It's a fantastic read. Everybody can go out there and get it online, or you can get it at bookstores near you. A fantastic read talking about your entire career and, of course, the big moment at WrestleMania 30 with you leaving as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Daniel, really appreciate the time. Thanks, and hope to see you back in the ring in the near future.
All right. Thank you very much.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.